Good morning, self-lovers. We're back. It's the Self-Love Show. Yes. Hi, and this is my sister here, Trish Wright. We're so honored to give you the gift of this show. It's such a joy. It just flows through our heart, and it's a divine service. Arriving at your doorstep weekly for your inspiration and greater self-love, and to ultimately benefit all your relationships, right? And so that's our purpose. That's our why. We care to benefit your beautiful life and exponentially grow love. You know, we are love essence. We can't get away from it, but it's like letting down the barriers where there's little blocks in our relationships and our relating and our ways of being. And why not learn more about this, right? And so in case you don't know, if you're new to us, thank you for joining us. And for those that always tune in, we love you. And just in case you don't know, we are on all the platforms. So go, you know, please share this out to your loved ones. If you know they're having a hard time or you know they're going through something, go look at the 4 years worth of content on YouTube and send something to them. And please like, share, and subscribe, because we want this message to ripple out into the world, because it's so beyond us. We do this as a devotion to love. And so we want that to grow in the world and for people to have their needs met in every way and to thrive on this beautiful planet, right? We all deserve that. So without further ado, we have an amazing guest today. So excited to introduce her. So it's the topic today is unconscious relationship dynamics with Melanie Trupp. And a short exercise to come out of our head and into our body, pause and inquire. So meet Melanie, a seasoned counselor and relationship expert with 25 years of transformative experience. Dedicated to empowering women on their journey to authenticity and thriving relationships, Melanie holds certifications as a certified hypnotist, master hypnotist, and hypnotherapist with 40 years of yogini dedication. She's also a 500-hour certified yoga instructor. Melanie is passionate about sharing insights on personal development, relationships, and well-being. As a certified hypnotist, she unravels deep-seated beliefs impacting behavior and decisions and offers holistic, tangible tools for empowerment and transformation. Her expertise promises brief, insightful conversations filled with actionable insights to enhance the intricacies of relationships. So welcome, Melanie.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Good to be here. There you go.
Oh, I'm really excited to have you. You know, I think that I've been thinking a lot about relationships lately, and how we move through the world. So one, I'm developing a dating workshop for the kids at UC Berkeley.
Cool.
Because I really want them to thrive, and statistically, Gen Z is dating less and they're having less relationships and there's more social anxiety. So I'm just thinking about all these things a lot. And I'm really thinking about how just maybe like society imprints us, or the media imprints us, or our family imprints us, or our friends, or like things that we're seeing. And I'm thinking about these kids, or I'm thinking about even my generation, your generation, and how we all relate, and how sometimes we don't know what drives us. And I'm curious if we can just launch right into what would be the first place to look? Like, we're like, unconscious relationship dynamics. I can't see it because I don't know.
You're so funny. This is like, what drives is the first thing that comes to mind is look behind you. Because that's what's driving us, is all the stuff that's behind us. You know, it's all the unconscious, and sometimes even conscious, but more unconscious. If we look at it, it's the programming that we've had, and this beliefs that we have had. That's what's driving us. And it's so cool what you're doing for young people in dating, because I would love to. This should be in school. This should be right from the beginning. Nobody teaches us what's driving us and how to relate and to heal what we've got and to clean out the computer, shall we say, you know, clean out the hard drive. Most of us are just, you know, we get turned on and away we go and stuff is coming up and it's spewing out and this is coming out, but we have no idea what's in our computer, what's in our hard drive. So that's what's driving us, is all the stuff behind us. And that's where we got to look.
What if you're like 20 and they don't have much, you know, between like the times of, oh gosh, you're like 15, 14, 15, 16. Well, you're probably inundated with a whole bunch of relational like dynamics before then. And then you're like, by the time you're like 18 and you're like wanting to date, or even 20 and you're like, I think I want a long-term relationship. Like the memory of like, doesn't really hit you of like, oh, what was behind me?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think many of us know that we need to look behind us. And a lot of us don't even know when you say it, a relationship at 18 long-term or 19, I think a lot of times we don't really know who we are. We might play out who we've been molded to be. Yeah. There's a difference. Okay. Versus who we are, who authentically are we? And a lot of times in family dynamics, we, for the name of survival, we will become someone or whoever you need me to be so that I can be in this family dynamic. Mm-hmm. So we need to get out of that or unravel it all. And then we need to become, we need to find out who are we authentically. Yes. And that is when you want the real relationship, when you are authentically yourself. So it's a real transformative place that you got to move through. Yeah.
I fully agree with you. This is such a juicy topic. And like, I serve my clients in this way all the time by explaining unconscious patterning very deeply in consciousness. And we're all imprinted, you know, it's the way the matrix was set up. It's a masterful craft by God. And we choose our systems. We choose our family system. We choose as a soul to come into Earth school, to be here, to arrive and say, all right, I'm choosing that. This is my life theme. This is, you know, and the imprints that occur in our childhood actually become the cyclical things we experience in our adult years, that actually we formed coping strategies in our behavior to relate to ourselves from a place of survival, to get through it, to make it through. And even if you have a loving partnership, loving parents and loving childhood, you still are imprinted. You don't have to have trauma to be imprinted. And so many people think, oh, I had a great childhood, nothing's wrong. But the thing is there's still imprints there. And so, you know, and then there's people like me that had a background of child abuse. So I had a ton of crazy things I had to peel back the layers and layers. It took me years. And so these unconscious programs are a part of our journey. This is our curriculum. And if we can lean into accepting it and say, okay, I'm curious, that's where the journey begins. Be curious. Be curious and willing to say, oh my gosh, am I really... Who of my parents am I showing up like right now? Or did I, for me, I took on a lot of my mother's stuff because I wanted to save her. Yeah. So I had this savior complex around like needing to save my mom from the horrible dynamic of my father. And you know, my brother and I became allies. And there was this whole complex unit of the way we related to one another that honestly didn't serve me later in my life. Like that journey of seeing myself like become the try to save the mother. God, I love my mother, but at the end of the day, hi Robin, I love you. At the end of the day, you know, that complex of needing to save my mother showed up as needing to save sister friends later in life. And ooh, it was really toxic, and I had to untangle from all of that. And so I want to give you back the floor, but yeah, it's such a juicy topic.
Well, first of all, you're sending shivers down my spine. And whenever the shivers go down my spine, it's, yeah, she's telling the truth. She's totally saying the truth. I mean, everything that you're saying, and you can even go past that into generational healing. And I've done a lot of work with that, where it's from my grandmother, from my grandmother's grandmother. And then it goes into places that we can go so deep into it, is into the humanity, because we're all part of it. So we can lift a little piece into the light if we're carrying it. And we're born with that. And I passionately believe this is our job, is to do the healing. All of us, not just me or you, you know, it's all of us are to, this is why we keep coming back. You know, we either get it or we come back again, you know, and I like being here, but at the same time, I certainly noticed, because my children, for all the work that I did, it was coming back from workshops and these epiphanies and these blow-ups of consciousness that just disintegrated and new light came in. My kids would go like, who's coming home now? But I really noticed the difference in my kids. The something that I lifted within me, okay, was lifted in my kids. And it's just, I cannot explain that, but you could sense it. It was palpable that my kids have changed since I have changed. So yeah.
You're making me cry right now. That's so good.
It's just got my whole body just tingling with all this energy that's just saying, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. See, I promised fun.
You did. Spirit has a funny way of just sending this tingling when truth is met. I get this tingling that just comes down my spine, and it's just this, oh, yes, I've met truth again. It's such a wonderful feeling. It just sends these shivers down my spine. So it's just a signal that I get. And this is my whole body's going, brrr. So it's vibrating with it, which is really cool. Yeah.
Who doesn't want more intergenerational healing for all our family members, right? That's why we do the work, so that we clean and clear in consciousness, so that it benefits all.
Yeah, very much so.
Stand in our authenticity, and the natural byproduct of the soul is joy, is happiness, is authenticity, is unconditional loving. We are love. And so it's really seeking and finding the barriers built against love that is our job. And that's laden with core belief sets that are like, you know, I'm unlovable, or I'm unworthy, or I'm not enough, or, you know, there's foundational core beliefs that we took hold of because we're imprinted before we're even cognitive.
Yes.
So the unconscious is making the choice, and it's like, all right, this is going to be the driver of your life. And this is the theme you're going to play out around your core family set and patterning. And until you wake up to it, until you choose anew and learn to decode your brain, learn to decode your nervous system, learn a new way. And so that's what we offer, right?
Yeah, exactly. And not healing, and the most selfless thing you can do is your healing. It's the most selfless thing that you can do. It's not for you yourself personally, as much as you get the benefit of it, but it's for your community. It's for your family. It's for everyone around you. And it's just such a gift that you can give. Don't ever underestimate the power of your own healing. It's just tremendous. So, yeah.
I love that you're talking about this, because it's, you know, it's been up for me as well. And I'll just share a little bit, because yes, you can be a relationship coach and a certified sex coach and still have stuff come up, because we are imprinted for, and I'm going to tell you a word that I learned in class. It's called the biological, psychological, social, and cultural approach to this. So if we wanted to like look at the layers of how you're imprinted, biologically, we have a genetic imprint from our parents, right? It's how, people who've never met, their father gives, you know, shares their DNA, and they've never met, and they have similar likes and personalities and things like that. Their genetic code transfers, right?
Yeah.
And then the psychology is like the aspect of you being with your parents, your own chemical psychology, your own kind of like personality. And you have society that imprints you. So, I mean, if you live in the US, you have some very specific imprints about relational dynamics and gender roles and things that you have going on. And then the larger like world culture about maybe even religion or yes. how you see that. And so even now, I think it's really great because I had a moment just right before you got here, Melanie, that I was telling Don that I was like, oh my God, I am manifesting or I'm like magnetizing the kindest, most gentle, polite, honest men right now.
Oh, and that's so nice.
I've changed in me, how I've changed is now what's showing up.
Yes.
It really is the inner work, this work and the inner relational and interpersonal work that we're all doing. So I love that you landed on doing your work, doing your spiritual work, doing your personal work is the most selfless act that you can do.
Yeah. And our relationships are a mirror of ourselves. And that's what you're saying. I mean, as we change and we open to this, then we'll draw in. So a mirror. And wherever we are in our relationship, we look at our partner and say, what is this mirroring in me? You know, what is this? Where am I that is attracting this? And it's so beautiful because the more that you change, there's an old saying, my, how much you have changed since I have changed. And that's the magic I talked about my kids is when I have done this shift and change, all of a sudden, who's my partner will either mirror that shift and change and everything elevates to a different level of consciousness. Or, I mean, admittedly, it can be that that person walks away and that was their only role in your life. I think they're all angels. They come in all different disguises and they're there to help us towards our healing. And sometimes we need a knock on the head and sometimes we need a red rose, you know, but as long as we're willing to look at it, this being is in my life to show me something. And what can I learn out of? Where am I to grow further? Or where am I to say, wow, I've done some good work here. This is mirroring where I am now. So that's really cool.
What unconscious relationships?
I missed it. It went out on me for a second. Oh, sorry.
Did I? Okay. I just don't know if I was muted or not. I was just inviting you to like explain a little more about your juicy topic, unconscious patterning here in relationships. Like, tell us a little more for you.
I was going to say, I think you hit the nail on the head. And like we said, what's driving us behind us, all of that is unconscious until we actually become conscious, until we can let go of those patterns. And a lot of those patterns are unconscious. We need to pull the roots out. So that is what's driving us. And that's the unconscious relationship. We're just constantly either being triggered. We're just thrown into it. We're making do. We don't even know how to manifest. We're actually manifesting all the time, but we don't know how to manifest consciously. And yeah. One of the things that I've got is talking about triggers and is where we get triggered in relationship. You know, someone does something or whatever, next thing, you know, up comes this emotional and we hit it and we attack them. You made me feel this, you did that. And then out of that, it triggers a response from them. And pretty soon we've ended up manifesting this big fight or this breakdown in the relationship or whatever it may be. When we're conscious and we understand our triggers, this is coming from behind me and this is what I'm responding to. They just pushed a button. Okay. And when we understand this and we can slow that down, we don't react. We all of a sudden become conscious and we can say, now if I respond and we have a choice. And so it's about responding. My choice of response will most likely give me X result.
Yes.
And that's conscious manifesting. Otherwise, we're unconsciously manifesting. We're a victim of the whole thing. We're just, it's like being thrown into the pool and not even really just flailing our arms around and trying to, you know, keep on the surface. You know, consciousness is like being in the pool, but swimming effortlessly, gracefully, and knowing which direction we want to go to. It's so different. It's so entirely different. You are the creator of your reality, whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
I would much rather know and have some say in it, you know? So And that's one of the drawbacks about conscious and your ability to respond, which is responsibility. A lot of people don't like their responsibility. They much rather be the victim, because there's a lot of, I'm not going to say pressure. When you get used to it, you love it. But initially, it's like, I'm responsible for this. I'm responsible for having this relationship in my life. This was my manifesting. Like, no, not me. I'm the victim. I had nothing to do with this. So I think the fear and sort of like a lot of people don't like that idea of being responsible. Being a victim is very easy. You know, it's very easy, rather than I'm responsible for this. That's a hard pill to swallow, but it's such a powerful. Once we get that and we take it, wow, how can we change it? Yeah.
What you're saying is the key ingredient to shifting your consciousness. It's really taking 100% responsibility that I create my reality.
Yeah.
And then you can look at it with the eyes of curiosity instead of shame, regret, sorrow, anger, frustration. Yes, you can still have your feelings around what is surfacing, but that the reason that the material is surfacing is actually it's because it's unconscious, unhealed, old parts of self. We call it unresolved emotional material.
Yeah.
In the unconscious, and the unconscious is so smart that it bubbles up in a divine timing, and spirit will never give you more than what you can fully handle, even though it can feel very overwhelming at times. But the truth is you're awakening to it, and it's your opportunity to lean into it with curious eyes and really go within and see, where is this in me? Where am I holding judgments? You know, because this is what I teach my clients. And so take this tidbit, because it is juicy and hot and good, and it will benefit your life. So if you can seek and find out where you hold judgment, judgment is pattern super glue. Yes. And if you continue to judge your circumstances, outer circumstances, no matter what it is, you're perpetuating the cycle. But the moment you take responsibility for, oh my gosh, I'm judging them as this, I'm judging them as that. And the truth is judgment is self-condemnation.
Yeah.
And the so moment true. You claim yourself and forgive all the judgments, forgiveness is the cosmic delete button.
Yeah. So true.
I want to jump in on this for a hot second, because I think that sometimes I want to make a distinction, because I think that sometimes when we use like victim consciousness or something like that, that it can get a little distorted in the world, and people can feel some sort of way about it. And I just kind of want to break it down about what we're talking about. So that anybody who's like listening or watching right now can understands that it's not like, oh, we have control of our own life and how we manifest in the world and what we move towards. And it's not like your traumas or your experiences don't matter. That's mm-hmm. not what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Your experiences mm-hmm. do matter. Your traumas do matter. And it's about looking within and putting, you always say this, Dawn, that I love so much. It's like the balm of love, or there's a thing that you say that I love so much. Like the balm
feeling is the application of love to the places inside that hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think about this as like you're looking at your life and you're asking yourself, why is my life like this? If I keep seeing the same patterning, it's me who's doing that. So if I can stop and see what happens before it happens, it's something within me, whether it's a thought or a process in my brain or a fear or the things that I'm saying, or maybe it is like purely subconscious, unconscious stuff from my childhood that I don't even know because it was pre-verbal. Like that's what we mean when we say like you have the power to manifest in your own life. And the victim consciousness, or this the role of the victim in the triangle, is an incredibly powerful role that a lot of people have learned as a strategy to get their needs met for attention, for safety, for connection. And when we stop playing in that Cartman triangle, then we get to what the Cartman triangle is,
yeah.
Victim, rescuer and perpetrator. When we step out of that, because when we're in that triangle, we're in each one of those at some point in the dynamic.
Of course. Yeah.
We step out of that, and we get to just see, how am I participating in my own harm or in the harm of another? And what's my role in it? And really take ownership and accountability of that. That is really taking ownership of your life, right? I've got to take ownership of my own healing. I've got to take ownership of why I allowed or what I was attracted to in like dating all these people that weren't good for me or who were frictiony or who were cruel or whatever. What was that in me? One last thing. One of the things that I hold from a previous partnership, like a really good nugget, was, well, come back to me and I'll call you again.
Okay. I'm going to add something to what you're talking about too, is the victim part too, is where we are creating our reality. And I agree with that, but I also want to know our reality is inside of us. That's our interpretation of it. So it doesn't mean bad things can happen. Okay. It doesn't mean that something out there is going on. Okay. We're pretty good at manifesting, but sometimes we have to say the universe is going to manifest it anyhow. So we can't take that, but this is going on out here. But the reality of what is going on is my interpretation. And that's where we have the change of it. And that's where we can look at it from a different place, or we can respond to it differently. If we respond to something with disgust and, like you said, judgment and anger, okay, then that's our reality of what we're interpreting as what's going on. But if you get someone who's a little zen and is a little bit more with grace, and you've changed this in here, and you're more open and you're more trusting of the universe, then your interpretation is saying, the way I look at it is, okay, what's the pearl in here? What is the universe trying to present to me? So you're not angry and you're not that. So reality is within us too. This is not about, hey, if bad things happen, you're fully responsible. I got to really differentiate between that, because shit happens, you know, but it's how do we, that's our reality inside of us, is how do we do this? So that's another take on it for the victim is we have that ability to respond to it, which can change our interpretation of what is going on, you know? And like you said, so I'm going to go one more step. It's like you said, Dawn, is like the universe never gives us anything that it doesn't believe that we can't handle. And that's been my mantra for so long. I cannot believe that you're saying it. Sends shivers down my spine, because I've got this little saying that I've had on my desk for so long, that the universe believes in me, even at times when I do not believe in myself. And will never give me anything that it doesn't believe that I can't handle, even if I think I cannot. And that has been a mantra for me for so long. And that allows me to trust the universe and saying, okay, this is not fun. This is not a nice place that's coming down the pipe here, but I'm going to trust that the universe is trusting in me more than I'm trusting in myself right now. Mm-hmm. So that is so amazing that this has come full circle, this little conversation into a, yeah, it does. It just came into a full circle that we just kind of put it in that whole thing. So it's cool. Oh, Trish is having a meltdown. This is so good.
Oh, it's only because there's a lot of little adorable synchronicities kind of happening right now as we talk about, you said full circle twice, and that is an entire conversation that we had before.
Oh, is that right?
It's like pinging, ping, 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 ping. So. Yes.
Yeah. The universe has aligned this pretty well. This is pretty good. I'm thoroughly loving this. This is great.
And I want to say one last thing about this part is that, you know, the one part, if we can all just, you know, apply a little bit more self-love in these places, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. a lot of the times what has happened or what has happened to us and what we got ourselves into, our nervous systems were just trying to keep us safe. And so, you know, most of the time, our brains kind of see information as being a threat. And then that's how it kind of shifts in the ways that we're supposed to like manage our bodies. And So when we have traumas around relationship, around family dynamics, around, you know, attachment figures, it's really here that our bodies learn what safety and love is, right? Yeah. This is something that Don and I have been talking about for some time, is that, you know, if you grew up in an abusive household or violent or manipulative or something, that actually kind of feels safe. Like you might seek that out a lot of times, or maybe you grew up in a really avoidant household.
Sure.
And then you're like, I didn't like that. Like consciously, you know that you're not interested in that, but there's some reason you keep manifesting partners like that to actually give you that opportunity to really look at it, to really look at that inside of you and to kind of dissolve that existential kink of wanting that, right?
Yeah.
Just to remember to apply self-love and empathy here, because this work is some big work. This is the core of who you are. And I love this conversation, how it's just so woven.
And you know, when you talk about that, about, you know, growing up in a thing, and sometimes it's like, as a little child, you got to remember, if they're in a violent home, they're not big enough to say, hey, everybody stop, this is not okay. You know, and sometimes that will be manifested back into us. Remember, I always look at it that everyone who comes into our life, as much as they're ugly, or they're, and I just mean like their energy, or they're not a good person, or they got some stuff and they're triggering us left, right, and center, they're angels in disguise who are saying, you got to get this. And I've had that in my life where I needed to have my voice. I needed to be able to stand up very strong for myself. And I'm telling you, I could feel it coming up my spine. That was like the Kundalini was just arising. And it was just oh, my back hurt. But I had to, in my whole body, say, no, enough. No, this is not okay. Even though I was frightened. And you can look at the, as being a victim here, or was it the fact that this being came into my life to keep testing me, to bring this up, to bring your feminine power back into play, to bring your power back in, to own it, to resurrect it. Because as a child, sometimes you just feel like you don't have that, and it's not safe, you know, as a child to say, stop, everybody stop. This is insanity. You don't have that place to do it. So just sort of what you were saying is self-love. It that's part of our self-love, is being able to come back. We're not five, but we're stuck there sometimes in those traumas. And we need to bring that out and give the five-year-old the voice and coach her so that she grows up fast and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. So I like the way those hearts came out. That's pretty cool.
I would love to like share a little bit with our viewers, because, you know, healing our core theme trauma, whatever core pattern, doesn't have to necessarily be around trauma, but most of the time it is. There's something there. And I'll speak about myself for one moment, and because it's like a relatable story. So I had child abuse. That's what I grew up. Like, I endured that as a child, and that really imprinted me. I had so much fear around authority and like this aggressive nature, and I couldn't own my anger. I was so, you know, didn't have an empowered voice. Like, you're seeing the healed version of me now. And, but I find that it's like, I love this analogy. You've got to look at your life like this. Like, okay, if we're climbing a mountain in life, and it's our spiritual nature, and we stop at the bottom, you know, the bottom is where the core wound is. And maybe it's on, you know, this side of the mountain, right? And we climb the mountain slowly, and we finally rotate back around, and you get to that same core spot, but you're at a higher elevation, right? And you've begun to do your work in consciousness. You've begun to peel back the patterns. But sometimes people have this illusory belief that think like, oh, I did that work, I'm good. Right. And then they think that, you know, oh, I'm good. I did that work. I don't need to touch it ever again. But the reality is we're always traveling back around that same core spot at a higher elevation as we age. And so even me, at, you know, the gorgeous 49-year-old I am today, I still encountered, like, 2 years ago when I moved, I got into a business dynamic that I was completely shamed for the way I coach. And I got the F out of there real quick. The way I responded, I had a voice. I was able to articulate. I didn't check out of my body. I was able to be regulated and in my nervous system and acknowledge what was going on consciously inside of myself while it was happening. It gave me a signpost, like, look at how far you've come. It's okay that this person is relating to you this way. It's not about you in this moment. You don't have to make it mean it's about you anymore, even though it felt very familiar. It felt, oh my God, this is my father all over again. But I had a choice. Do I stay in this work dynamic, or do I see my worth and value and realize it's never going to stop. If I allow her to treat me this way, it will continue. So I gracefully and lovingly declined the work offer and moved on with myself and knew I made the right choice. I forgave her. I had a closing conversation. I did it with love. And I, even in the moment, she was wronging me for the way I was approaching coaching. And I'm steeped in deep, compassionate inquiry work. So my approach for when I coach you is always through deep compassion and love. And my voice will always be loving. I'm not going to be like calling out your victimhood is what she wanted. And I'm like, sorry, I don't coach that way. And at the same time, it was interesting because she wanted me to move into like wordsmithing after that and be this creative, fast brain thing. And I was like, I just want to stop you for a moment. Can we stop the whole conversation? My brain is blank. And that's exactly what would happen as a child. I would be completely blank. Yeah. And I acknowledged it. I owned what I was feeling in the moment. I owned that this is a, I said, by the way, I want you to know that you've just initiated like a major core wound for me. And my brain is completely blank. And then she was like, oh my God, she had such an epiphany and was moving right into like really feeling sorry. And I accepted her apology. We talked about it. We had many conversations after that to like close the dynamic and love. And the truth is it was a real big, like, ding, ding, ding. You're on your path. You've done a lot of work. Keep going. Be proud of yourself. You owned it in the moment. You didn't check out of your nervous system. It was such a powerful homecoming of that. Even though my dad has passed on, he's not even on the planet anymore. God bless you, Dad. And do you know what I mean? He was my toughest core, like most difficult relationship. Yeah. And that was a graduation moment.
And it's so a gift.
It was a gift. Yeah. And I just want to say to our viewers, if you have core curriculum, whatever it may be, just keep going because you will have these crescendo moments at some point and just notice where you are on that spiral around the mountain back, touching over that same core wound part and give yourself so much compassion and love because you got this and you will heal. You will heal it and you will come home to all of it and you will overcome it and integrate it.
Yeah, that's so true. I call it scraping the bottom of the barrel. You got going around the mountain. I call it scraping the bottom of the barrel. But yeah, and it's so interesting. Like when you start off, it's just like you said about your father, you can have anger against your father. Like he had no right to do this. He had no debt. But when you start healing, I think something shifts inside of you that you end up having gratitude for them. Because if it wasn't for them, you would have not been able to heal this. Now, did this wound come during that time, or was that wound brought into you from your generational wound, or this was part of the collective healing that you've agreed to heal? So when that comes, it changes it. And that's where you can come back to your family, not with anger or hatred or judgment. You can come back to your family when you've healed this with loving and compassion and thank them for bringing this to you so you could heal. Everyone on this planet is an angel and they all come in different disguises and they're there to support us. When we see that and we get it, we have gratitude, you know, and that's what you bring back to your family. You bring back love and compassion to your family. you know, thank you for bringing this to me, you know, and I like to play around with it sometimes. I kind of like say to the universe, you know, I'll get my lessons real fast. Don't bring the real hardcore ones to me, you know, but when you do get it fast, sometimes it does come a lot faster, you know, like you don't have to have the real smack on the head or the real bad one coming in or whatever you can call it, or, you know, you can get the lessons. And so when you start doing this and you've done it long enough, it just becomes this automatic pile. Okay, what am I supposed to learn? And you can shift through it a lot faster, you know? So, yeah. So I think that's where our love comes back into the family, that and I think that's really important, because I know with my sister, she did the same work with me, my real sister. And we always asked our mentor at the time, why are we both doing this work? And he says, you needed both of you to do it, you know, that we had each other to do it with. And it was, it's just that you can bring that love back into the family. And then again, it's my, how much you have changed since I have changed. Like it just becomes really quite beautiful. So
love this.
Yeah.
I did some family constellation work historically.
Oh, okay.
And it was, wow. It was wow. You know, like when we start to really look at our own patterning and choose to stop participating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful. And in family constellations, if for anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's kind of in the psychodrama department. And I don't know what kind of magic and awesomeness this is, but the way it works is that they have you as the person, and then they put people that you don't know in your family dynamic. Like they're like, this is the, this is your aunt, this is your dad, this is your mom, this is your grandpa. And I don't know what it is, but those people will, without knowing anything about your family, like you don't really tell them.
I know.
I'm getting goosebumps again. They will literally start taking on the dynamics of your family. And this is just, wow. Okay. So yeah, you take the dynamics of your family and then you get to relate to them. And it's so fascinating to see how much energy and how much power and magic and like, that one puts out in the world. It occurred to me one time that I actually forced people unconsciously into my dynamic. And I no longer wanted to put them in there because I don't want them to play that game. So for one just little trick and tip before I give you full screen here is, if you want to know like one good sign, one somatic and emotional good sign to see like, oh, this isn't right for me, or I need to slow down and look at this, is when you're deeply uncomfortable. when you're really angry, or when something is uncomfortable, but really like if you can take a pause there and be like, oh, and really instead of projecting out like this person is, enter your projection word, but to really look back in and being like, oh, how am I participating here? Like that's going to give you access. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what you brought today to share with me.
Oh, what I brought today? Oh, I think what I was going to do is we were talking, there's so much to talk about. What I was going to do was just, I liken it to getting back in our bodies. And that's kind of like where you had said that you went blank. And that's where we basically left. We're so traumatized or we're so confused or whatever. A lot of us have a tendency just to leave the body. Like we don't want to live in this body. There's too much stuff going on. There's just like we've abandoned it. So when triggers happen or when things happen, we need to have a practice within ourselves is to start coming and living in our body. And I liken it to our body as a container. And imagine that over our years and our lifetime, we stick in emotions and trauma that flush like the container of the computer. And we put it all in here. And so when a lot of us hover up above in our heads or just a slightly out of our heads, we're out in another world sort of, but we use is and abuse this body to some degree is shove all the trauma, shove all the stuff, the things that we don't want to feel and be aware of. And that's when we end up having those triggers that all of a sudden the stuff comes out. So when you're in the height of the moment of a really intense emotion, it's kind of hard to get back in there. So if we practice when we're calm and we get used to this, we'll be able to do it a lot better. And we'll be able to stay in our body. So if you imagine you have a glass of water and you bring in, yourself in here, the water dispels. And I look at it that when we come home in our body, everything that is not us is dispelled. There's an overflow. But in that overflow is where we start feeling things and we don't necessarily like what we're feeling as it comes up through us. So one of the things I want to do is just a grounding exercise, and it's sort of like just coming into our body. So for the viewers out there, if you just sit and close your eyes and plant your 2 feet on the ground and just sit there for a moment and just imagine as though that you were coming home and you're going to put on your body. So I sort of imagine as though you slid yourself down into your head and imagine that you sort of put in the right arm. You just slide yourself down into the right arm. And then you sort of put on your left arm, just as though you're putting yourself into this glove, into this body. And you bring yourself down into the torso and you take a few really nice deep breaths. And then you slide all the way down and you put on your right foot. And then you put on your left foot. And you just sit there for a minute. And you just breathe as though you put yourself into this body, this container, and you just slid yourself in there, putting on the right foot, the left foot, down all the way down to the tips of the fingers, down all the way down the left tips of the fingers. And you just sit there for a moment and you just breathe. And that's all you have to do is just breathe and just be there just for a moment. Just presently be there. Notice any sensations that are there. Notice any, just the sounds that you may hear. There's nothing for you to judge. Just notice if there's any tingling in the body, if there's any emotion in the body. Don't do anything with it. Just let it be there. And just imagine, like I said, as though when you come into this cup of water and it displaces, and just let it, just going to rise and just be there and just simply allow it to be there as you just anchor yourself in there and simply just be. That's all you have to do. It's a simple little 5-minute exercise that you can do, and you can do it 20 times a day. If I had a prescription, you can do it 10 times a day. It's just be present. And then later on, as you notice the emotions, you become more conscious, more aware, then you can do some work with it. But until then, you need to come into this container to be aware of what's going on. As I say, our body holds, we've just used it in a lot of ways just to stuff things in, And then what happens over time is we stuff things in, we stuff our trauma, we stuff everything in. We live higher and higher and higher up into our body, out. Next thing you know, we're out in the cosmos, or we're hovering above, or we're just living up in the top attic. We're not living all the way down and filling the whole house. When we don't fill our whole house with ourselves, sometimes energy from others can seep into us, and we may have past relationships that are living, in our heart or in our body or in our tummy or wherever. And that's where we're not wholly ourselves present into our own body. So that is the little exercise I wanted to give to everybody, is slow it down, come on home, and let the work begin.
Amazing. I love putting me on.
Slide ourselves in there and just be there. And that's what you were saying, Dawn, is you could feel all this stuff coming out. You could feel yourself blank. It's really a neat, because when you do it enough, you become so aware when you're not home. For me personally, I grew up in a family where nobody was home, and as a child, it was like I was totally on my own. And it wasn't until I went to India, to be honest with you, which is in my 40s, like late 30s, 40s, I felt so at home because everybody was there. They were present. And it was just such an amazing feeling. And I just felt so at home because I lived in a family where nobody was home. The bodies were there, but nobody was home. Yeah. And it was, And that led me into my own relationship stuff where I would seek out partners who weren't there either. They were either lost in an addiction, which is generally where I went to. And my job was trying to bring them home, because as a child, I really felt like if I can bring them home, then I'm worthy. If I can bring them home, then I'm good enough, you know? And so I just kept trying to, you know, bring them home. So it was, yeah, I know. When I look back on it, oh my God. So now that I've learned to come home, I absolutely just so uncomfortable. Oh, I'm not here. I don't like it. I just don't like it. But I never knew it. I never knew I wasn't home either until I came home, you know? So, yeah.
I love your work so much. So beautiful.
Thank you. I love you guys' work too. Like, this is so cool. It's so neat. Chat with you guys. It's so cool.
I celebrate your journey and, you know, how much you've poured into yourself to arrive there. It's a spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful, you know, and the thing is when you just don't give up, you will arrive there. You will get there. You will, you know, the spirit inside of you will show you the way. And it sounds like you just stayed in your dedication and really.
I never left it. I never left it at the young age of 17. I just started on this path and I never left it. I was just like a pit bull for the truth. I wanted to know it. I wanted to discover it all. It was just, I don't even know if I chose it. I think it chose me in so many ways. And I was just going down that track and everything just like, you're going to learn, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And my whole life, you know, has been dedicated to it completely. Yeah.
Beautiful. Tell us more about how we can find you and your work. Would you like to give us a little more understanding of your work itself?
Sure. Sure. Right now, my focus, I've worked with both men and women, and I've been doing this for a long time. My focus now is I've moved to an online presence, which is new for me. I've generally had a little office and people would come from all over. I used to do retreats in India and everything else like that. But now I'm online and it's epictransitions.ca. You've got the thing on here on the, I see on the board there. So Epic Transitions. Now I focus on women. And the reason I focus on women in relationships is simply because my history, of course, and also being a woman, is that I think right now we are in a really stressful place in our world. And I think that if we don't have a solid relationship and know what we're doing, that with all the stresses going on, the statistics are, I think it's well over 60-70%. I can't, it's so high that in a divorce. But with the divorce, women are the child caregivers primarily of the children. And there are more women in poverty than there are men. And I think as women, because we are the mothers, we are the grandmothers, we are the caregivers of our children. And I also feel that if we don't get this right, like we've got to do this work. It's so important to do this work. And being a mother and a grandmother myself, I just have seen the difference and experienced the difference. So I work primarily with women. I will work with men, but honestly, my whole focus has been working with women in relationships so that they can elevate themselves and become the best that they can be. And then they can help heal. Because I think we're all natural healers. And then they can spread that out to their kids. And just imagine a world where if the kids no longer grew up in the trauma, if they no longer had all this, what's the next generation going to be like? What's the generation after that going to be like? You know, like it's just so important. And being a grandmother, I just see it even more so. Like it's just, I want my grandkids, you know, just to be these little light beings. And it's just like, otherwise, I just think we got to change people. You know, we really have to change. It's just, and the poverty that women are in and the stress and the, it's just too much. It's just too much. So that's what I do. And so I've got, as you say on the side there, I've got a Facebook group for women. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram, but epictransitions.ca. You can find me there. And I got workshops and all that stuff.
Wow. Amazing. I love it. Love, love, love your passion and your devotion. I share the same sentiment. I feel like women really need, I love the men too, but I feel like women really do lifted up on the planet right now, because we are the natural, we make circles in our life. Women are natural caretakers. So we will move into all the areas and caretake in all the ways that we, because we just naturally we're just naturally hardwired.
Yeah. And we birth sons, and sons become men. So just imagine, as women who birth sons, and I have a son myself, right? We birth sons. And when our sons become men, and if we're the healer, the healed, and we birth the sons, it automatically transfers over to the son, you know, and then the son, and then it carries on his relationship, you know, like, and they're different than the generation before then. So really, we are the birthers. So
well, you hold the women. And I'll hold the men, because that's
okay.
With my Man of Dignity program is the thing that is just, it's the male version of what you all do.
Awesome. Awesome. Love it. Absolutely love it. I totally love it. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Totally love it. Yeah.
Hey, Don, that's what are you up to?
What am I up to? That's an exciting question. So I have a really juicy offering. I am hosting a retreat, and it's basically the weekend of April 20th. It's for 2 days, 10 to 6 each day. And it's really juicy. It's packed with the most amazing. It's cultivated. Basically, grace was my quality over the last 3 years. And I've been really working to embody allowing grace through every choice, everything, every, you know, and it's just untangling from that like nervous system needing to be in that hardwired, fast paced, you know, the world is changing and evolving. And there's a lot of curriculum surfacing over the last many years. And we all see it happening. And it's really more than ever now, we need a place to ground in, to move slower, to allow for spirit to really resound through our body temple and get back that deep connection. And so this is a retreat to do that. So you're going to get, you know, meditation, group prayer work, spiritual psychology work. There's a whole, I've handcrafted a beautiful experience all around grace and just inviting in deeper and deeper and deeper levels of tangible embodied grace. And so that's the goal. That's the intention. I'm here to serve you in this. I'm very excited about it. This has been a dream of mine for a long time to offer a retreat. And so it's a small cohort. I only have 10 spots available. So it's first come, first serve. Please dive in. I made it really affordable. Would love to have you. So just reach out. Go on the link. And if you need to reach out privately to me on Facebook, ask me questions. I'm available to talk to you about it, give you more insight. You know, please. Yeah. Just this is a juicy offering for you to uplevel your experience with your personal relationship with Source.
Wow. I'd like to be there. It's always great to do that. I love that work. Yeah. Totally awesome. Yeah. It was super cool. Yeah, I'm coming down to Berkeley later on, so who knows? Yeah, love that kind of work. I really do. I think it's just so, it's such a sanctuary for people to come in and just really come home. And there's a homeness about it. And some people don't realize it when they come into these kind of retreats or these kind of gatherings. There's a real homeness about it, and people feel home. And that's, I know I've, as a facilitator and having done lots of retreats and created stuff, there's nothing more sacred and better about that kind of stuff than this gathering of like-minded beings coming in and coming home. It's great. Love it.
Well, come on home.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, what's rising up for me is when I started really focusing on what feels safe, like actually choosing nervous system regulation, choosing what's safe people, and choosing safe behaviors in myself. My nervous system changed, and what I like changed, and who my friends are. Some of them stayed and some of them went. And so it really, home is the place that is a nervous system regulation for you.
Yeah.
And you know what? this show was nervous system regulating for me, and I adore both of you so much.
This is like, yeah, I'll do that too.
Love the work that you both are doing in the world, and I'm so proud of you both and everyone watching and listening right now, because I know that you're doing the work and I know that it's difficult. And just like Melanie said, look back, give yourself a good pat on the back for all that work that you've done, and give yourself a little bit more credit. Keep going up to the top of that mountain, like Dawn said. And I just want to give a big thank you to our team, Roy and Russell, and our little mascot, Poppy, for always making the show possible, for doing the graphics, and for reaching out, and for communicating with our guests, and for really holding Dawn and I in this space so that we can show up for you and show up for our families and our lives. So thank you, Roy and Russell, for your love. I want to give a big shout out to Scott Katamas, Love Coach Academy, Global Peace Tribe, and all of you for showing up this day, every week, and really showing up for yourself, committing to you and to the relationship that you have with yourself. So thank you all for showing up. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Bye.